The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O my Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. It is new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O my Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. It's always good to be reminded of that. Even in the midst of judgment, even in the midst of calamity of one sort or another, always to be reminded that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And so today, as we continue on studying, as we have in weeks past, the laws of the kingdom, the principles of God's kingdom, which are secret to some, but not secret to us, those that belong to God's kingdom through Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the Lord reveals these secrets to them. And even actually many people, and we didn't discuss this too much before, but it's worth mentioning that even people who do not believe in Jesus have come across some of these principles and put them to work, though it's not their salvation, obviously, only Jesus is our salvation. They've learned to use kingdom principles even though they don't recognize the King of the Kingdom, which is an interesting situation. That just shows how immutable and how universal these principles are. So today, as we have gone through in the weeks past, the law of reciprocity and the law of use, this week I want to discuss the third out of these 10 different laws of the kingdom. The law of reciprocity, the law of use, the law of perseverance, the law of responsibility, the law of greatness, the law of unity, the law of fidelity, the law of change, the law of miracles, the law of dominion, and then when we finish those 10, we're going to discuss the coming king. So this week, the law of perseverance. So take the Bible and turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. When you have it, say amen. Philippians chapter 4. Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians. Fourth chapter. How many verses there?
23.
Okay. So how many from the younger generation there? How many verses shall each of us read if there's 23 verses in that chapter? Each of us read 4 and one person would have to read one less, because 6 times 4 is 24 and it's 23 verses. Right? Close though.
That's
pretty good.
5, but one person reads 7.
No. They get it worked out there.
Okay, so I will read the last 3. Why don't we start with Cameron? You read the first 4. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. I need some help in finding it. Remember, you go to the beginning, to the index. It'll show you the page. It was always funny when I'd say, okay, everybody, turn to page 1227. And everybody starts turning. The only way that works is that if you're in a setting where everybody has the same translation of the scripture and everyone has the same copy of the Bible there with the page numbers. you find it?
Is it chapter
4? Chapter 4, verse 1. You being the youngest amongst us, got it?
Yep.
Go ahead.
Masters, treat your...
Okay, you know how to start.
Oh, yeah.
And speak up loudly.
I'm reading from the English Standard Version, Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4.
Okay.
Masters, treat your bond servants justly and fairly, knowing
I don't know. You get the wrong chapter there. Philippians.
Oh,
we're at Philippians.
Oh, here we go.
Philippians 4:1.
Oh, here. You got it now.
Okay.
Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved.
I entreat Euodia,
and I entreat
Syntyche
to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice.
Good.
I just read from the English Standard Version, Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4.
Very good.
I am reading from the New International Version, Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 8.
Okay.
May your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. In the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I just read from Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 8.
Good.
And picking up from the English Standard Version, Philippians 4, verses 9 through 12. What have you learned and received and heard and seen in me? Practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. That was Philippians 4, verses 9 through 12.
I'm reading Philippians 4, verse 13 through 16 from the New International Version. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. That was Philippians 4:13-16, the International Version.
Good.
King James Version, Philippians 4, verses 17 through 20. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit, that they may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen.
And I'm reading from the Geneva translation, Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 21. Salute all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brethren, which are with me, greet you. All the saints salute you, and most of all, they which are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. I've just read from Philippians chapter 4, verses 21 through 23. Now, we probably ought to set historically the context that this passage of Scripture was written from Rome to the church in Philippi, the Philippians. It was actually sent, as it says right here, through Epaphroditus. In other words, that this was delivered to the church in Philippi by Epaphroditus. He was the messenger that brought it. Now think about the fact that the Apostle Paul was in a Roman prison and probably below the street level down in the sewer, so to speak, while he was being inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this passage of Scripture. This week, because we're talking about the law of perseverance, I think this is a good chapter to look at for a variety of different reasons. We'll look at some other scriptures along the way as well. But thinking about the fact that he was a success. He was a tremendous success. And not because life was easy for him. Many people under those circumstances being jailed in Rome in the Roman sewer probably would not be opening themselves up to be used of the Lord and the Holy Spirit to inspire them to write words that we're reading today. And to be used in the of course, the section of Scripture in the New Testament called the Pauline Epistles, which are the love letters, so to speak, because the epistle is a love letter, from the Apostle Paul, or as some say, St. Paul and whatever else. He was the amanuensis. That's a fancy word. Amanuensis is a secretary. He was the secretary for the Holy Spirit. Now, think about the fact that if he was like a lot of people and he'd be complaining and giving up, he wouldn't be open to receive that from the Holy Spirit. Think about that as we're thinking about the law of perseverance this week. I also want to point out a couple of other things here in this chapter. First of all, in verse 2, I pay Euodia and beseech Syntyche that they be of one accord in the Lord. Now, in different translations and looking at the original manuscript language, you'd say, be of one accord in the Lord. That's an absolute essential, which I'm certainly praying will happen to all of us, not only here today, but Christians worldwide, that we be in one accord, not necessarily agreeing with one another. That might be an impossibility. But if we find ourselves in one accord agreeing with the Lord, and think about another passage of Scripture that you may have looked at, in Acts chapter 2, for example, on what's called the day of Pentecost, that they've been waiting in a place, the upper room, which was basically a meeting room and a restaurant, pretty much. They may have even been in the temple courtyard. We're not exactly sure of that, but we know that they were there for several days, probably arguing, discussing with each other and so forth, until they became of one mind and one accord. Now, that was a miraculous happening, in a sense, of the Lord, and it took 3 days to take place when they got away from themselves and their worldly thinking, and they persevered and said, you know, we're not going to run away, we're going to stay here, and we're going to wait on the Lord. And we're going to wait till the Lord brings us into one accord in that unity. So it's not just agreeing with one another. That's more of a worldly concept. Well, when we come to an agreement, or, you know, status quo, or we come to a consensus, no, what we're trying to do is to be in one accord with the Lord and his will and what he wants us to do. And to do that is not easy. And once again, the law of perseverance. Another thing I want to point out to you in verse 3 is it says, who are those people who are fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life? And of course, when you see book of life, that basically is meaning the same as you find in other passages of Scripture, like Revelation, for example, that tell you that those that are saved, those that are born again, those that know the Lord, their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And just a brief reminder here, they that persevere till the end shall be saved. And we cannot write our own name in the book. You know, you go to a wedding, you go to any kind of thing, you've got a guest book and you can put your name in there. This is not something we can write our name in. Only the Lord writes our name in there because we have trusted in Him and we've persevered to continue to serve Him. And of course, I keep putting perseverance and persevere in because that's the law of the kingdom we're talking about today, the principle. I also want to mention to you verse 9. Which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, those things do. All right. The issue of perseverance is staying in there, hanging in there, continuing on, even though we've been trained to do the right things, we've been shown to do the right things, and many people know what's right to do, but they don't do it anyway. But this is saying here, and those things do, no matter what. It doesn't say, oh, you don't have to do it if it's difficult, you don't have to do it if it's hard, you don't have to do it if there's tribulation, you don't have to do it if other people aren't doing it, you don't have to do it if there are circumstances that are too much of a problem. It just says, these things do. And the interesting thing about it is that we've been given that more or less as a command. These things do. And then we say, well, yeah, but Lord, how can we do these things? Even if we hang in there and stay at it, I mean, there's a lot of opposition. There's a lot of friction out there. And wouldn't you know, as always, how the Lord gives us, first of all, He gives us a good formula, you might say, in Philippians 4:4, right? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Then He gives us also, more or less in verse 8, all those things that we should be doing and concentrating on, and I contend that most people don't spend very much time concentrating on the things that are listed there in verse 8. They spend a lot of time concentrating on all the things that aren't listed there, and they don't have any peace as a result. So when we start thinking, how am I going to do these things, Lord? How can I persevere? And the Lord says, oh, I'll help you. I'm going to send you help from my sanctuary. Send us help from your sanctuary. Send us help from your sanctuary. Send us help from your sanctuary, O Lord. And the Lord answers back, I sent you help from my sanctuary. I sent you help from my sanctuary. I sent you help. I sent you help, O my child. Right, verse 13, I am able to do all things through the help of Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let's all say that together. I am able to do all things through the help of Christ, which strengtheneth me. So when we start to think it's all too difficult, I can't hang on, I can't persevere, the Lord says, yes, you can, but not of your own strength. He said, I will strengthen you. And now we're starting to get into the issue of the law of perseverance, of why some people don't seem to be strengthened and why some people don't. Because the Lord does not force us to accept His help. No one is ever forced to accept the Lord's help. But the wise person who wants to accomplish things will. I know there are all kind of formulas that people are selling out there for what is success in life. But basically, as we see here, success in life comes through industry, the traits of character. And here are some traits of character that are very important for all of us. Dedication, commitment, patience, self-discipline, and hard work. What? Hard work! That's not pleasant. A lot of people, hard work, we're trying to get easy work. But the Lord is not strengthening us for easy, He's strengthening us for hard. Now, God does not give the good things of the world to those who do not work. If you'll turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 quickly, I want to show you a verse there, a couple of verses that a lot of people really do not like to know. And of course, it speaks against our welfare system in some respects. And remember, when I'm talking about the welfare system, I'm not talking about those people that are sick and disabled and need help. I'm talking about people who are otherwise able to work and are not willing to, what the Lord says about that. And this, of course, was something that the Mayflower people at the in Plymouth had to learn, and they had to teach people this, because lots of people, when it was cold and dangerous out there, wanted to stay in bed and eat the food that somebody else was growing and getting for them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, at verse 10. It says, "For even when we were with you, this we warned you of, that if there were any which would not work, that he should not eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you inordinately and work not at all, but are busybodies." So there we see the Lord encouraging us to be industrious. I want to read another passage of Scripture with you, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, at verse 7, if you're turning along with me. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, or you can write that down for your notes. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, and verse 7 says, "And it shall be given you, seek, and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For whosoever asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. For what man is there among you, which, if he ask his son, ask him for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, and will he give him a serpent? And if ye then, which are evil, can give your children good gifts, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him?" I want to point out when it says in verse 11, "If you then which are evil," it just means if you who are natural, you're not supernatural, you're not God, this natural person, if you can give good gifts to your children, don't you think your Heavenly Father will give you good gifts? And as you look at verse 7, it says, "Ask, knock," or ask, "seek and knock," A-S-K, ask, seek, and knock. You can remember it that way. But I would say to you that actually in its original Greek rendering, it's asking, seeking, and knocking. Asking, seeking, and knocking. So it's not just a one-time thing. And we have certainly found out that those that are very diligent about continuing to pray, continuing to ask, continuing to seek, continuing to knock, that it usually happens for them. There are several passages of Scripture that define this and remind us, just the same as if you were looking at somebody who was a successful salesman, if they call up one time or they only go by one time and somebody doesn't buy, well, that doesn't usually work out. You know, you got to be diligent about that. So it's, once again, the law of perseverance. Now, we know that the Lord does not reward slothfulness and indolence. Those are fancy words for saying being lazy or being sarcastic or being sloppy. He doesn't reward that. Why should he? There are times of his grace that unexpectedly, undeserved, we might receive a particular blessing. Okay? The Lord does that too. Right? Just the same as, gee, it's not my birthday, it's not Christmas, it's not a holiday of some sort or another. How come you're giving me a gift? And you just say, well, it's just because I love you and I just wanted to give you a gift. But the thing is, you don't base your life standing waiting for God to give you an undeserved gift, so to speak. You don't stand and wait for an unexpected gift just by God's amazing grace. Okay, and I'm not talking about working towards salvation. You can't work your work for your salvation. That's a gift of God. But we work out our salvation in fear and trembling. What does that mean? We persevere to stay strong in the Lord, and the Lord gives us the strength that we need if we want to do that. And so many people are standing by saying, well, I'm just waiting for the Lord to take care of this, and I'm waiting for the Lord to give me this, and I'm waiting for the Lord, and the Lord is saying, you know what? Yes, I want to do that, but you know the people that I really like to gift with things are the people that don't stand there demanding gifts, but are willing to go out and work. Did we work yesterday?
Yeah.
We worked pretty hard, didn't we?
Yeah.
We sweated a lot, didn't we?
Yeah.
And what happened?
When we got all things done.
That's right. And do you expect that, and we prayed over that, right? We said, Lord, give us a great harvest. 1 year from now, it's going to take a year before we get to harvest that garlic. See? But one thing's for sure, we could just take the garlic, throw it on the ground, say, Lord, we're believing for a good harvest next year. And you know what happened?
What?
Probably nothing. The Lord might have said, you know what? You should have worked. You should have sweated. You should have put it in the ground the way a farmer should. And now I'm going to bless your harvest. See? There's a point to that. It's called the law of perseverance. Okay? So we keep asking. We keep seeking. We keep knocking. It's the people who are doubtful and unprepared that are very easily defeated in a lot of things. Did we use a lot of tools yesterday?
Yes.
Didn't we have a special thing for so we didn't have to stick our finger in the ground so we get a nice even hole to plant those things in?
Yeah.
See, right? We were prepared. And so I don't think we'll be easily defeated. That's part of the law of perseverance. Now, there's something in life that, of all life, that says, I have to grow. You remember, we watched about that mule, we saw it was just a baby mule, and then suddenly a year later, thing grew up. You're growing up. I'm growing up. We're all growing. We're supposed to be growing. If we're not growing, something is not right. Hopefully, we're not growing in girth around our waist, necessarily. But we grow in strength. And spiritually, we're supposed to be growing in the things of the Lord. Somebody that tells me they're walking with the Lord, who's not growing spiritually in the things of the Lord, getting stronger in the things of the Lord, can deal with more, has not persevered to really walk with the Lord the way the Lord wants. That I'm sure of. We also know that strength and endurance for a new environment. Things are changing all the time. I many times say things are changing and not necessarily for the better, but the thing that we can have confidence in, if we'll persevere and continue to walk with the Lord will keep us prepared for whatever it is we have to deal with. And I know we often talk about the disasters that are happening in the world and things that could happen and so forth and so on. But if we'll continue to persevere, do the things that we can do. The Lord takes care of the impossible. We take care of the possible. The Lord will take care of us. But I do not have the confidence of believing that I can do nothing, especially knowing what we've just read in Scripture. If I don't persevere with the things of the Lord and continue to press on, and knowing that the circumstances may become more difficult, but just the same as what do we do when we're weightlifting? If somebody wants to build stronger muscles, they continue to do more repetition, they continue to add more weight, and as they add more weight and more repetition to it, their muscles grow and then they can do more. So as the weight that's put upon them is more difficult, they can handle it. And that's the way it is from a spiritual standpoint. It was interesting, I was thinking about Benjamin Franklin, who made a statement, safe and free can never be. Are we looking to be free? Well, the law of perseverance keeps us free. Because, of course, what's the price of freedom? Eternal vigilance. So we persevere in our eternal vigilance to stay free. health-wise, spiritually, all the things that the Lord wants to do with us, for us. When God said, let there be light, He's given us some of that power in our own lives. The Lord created from, let there be light, and there was light. And He's given us a portion of that power in our own lives. People that are always having a defeatist attitude, saying, I can't do it. I'm not going to be able to make it. No, I won't be able to learn that. I won't be able to study that. No, I'm a failure. I'm a this. I'm a that. No. And I want you to think for a moment what having that kind of attitude does, as opposed to having an attitude that you want to transmit, an attitude of faith, an attitude of hope, and an attitude of love. Think about it for a minute. Some of the people that you can think of historically, or maybe even your own lives, that even though they were up against great adversity, that they persevered. They must have understood the law of perseverance, and they stayed in there, they hung in there, and they became stronger, and things became better for them because they didn't give up. Think about that historically. Think about somebody like, it's wonderful to have light over our head, isn't it? How about Thomas Edison? Thomas Alva Edison. People laughed at him. He failed many times, and he was successful with the light bulb. Or pretty much anybody who's accomplished anything, whether in the spiritual realm, education, politics, inventions, they've had to press on. They understood that law of perseverance, and it's a law of the kingdom. And it's interesting how in some respects we can become what's called, I call, a self-fulfilling prophecy. Sometimes when people are saying, well, I'm going to get sick, they get sick. Sometimes when people say, I'm going to fail, they fail. And sometimes they say, I'm going to lose, and they lose. And then say, you see, I told you I was going to lose. Well, you're a self-fulfilling prophecy. But how about saying, no, just because I got wet doesn't mean I'm going to catch a cold and be sick. Just because somebody coughed on me doesn't mean I'm going to be sick. Just because somebody was a difficult opponent doesn't mean that I'm going to lose. And so we don't want to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. We want to be as the Lord says. And the Lord says in Philippians 4:13, just to remind us of that, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And that's an important thing for us to know, because I do believe that the circumstances we may be facing as Christians in the world, I never thought in America it would become illegal to be a Christian, but we're seeing that it's sort of becoming that way in many respects, especially if you stand up for your faith and so forth. But in different places of the world, many people are persevering in their faith in Christ, even though it costs them their life or costs them their jobs or whatever else. And see, what is really the ultimate hope that we have when we persevere? It's knowing Jesus as our Savior. If you want to quickly turn to Luke chapter 18, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke chapter 18, a few verses there. Reading from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8 there. From the Geneva translation, Luke 18 and verse 1. And he spake also a parable unto them to this end, that they ought always to pray and not to wax faint. See? Perseverance. Saying, there was a judge in a certain city which feared not God, neither revered man. There was a widow in that city which came unto him, saying, do me justice against mine adversary. And he would not of a long time. But afterward he said with himself, though I fear not God nor reverence man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will do her right, lest at the last she come and make me weary. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge saith. Now shall not God avenge his elect, which cry day and night unto him, yea, though he suffer long for them. And verse 8, I tell you, he will avenge them quickly. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. A lot of truth just in those few verses about the law of perseverance. How important it is. Here's a judge who did not fear God, and he didn't fear man. But he certainly didn't want to continually be bugged by this woman that kept asking and seeking and knocking and asking and seeking and knocking and asking and seeking and knocking. And that's, I think we can say that she had pretty well understood the law of perseverance. That she knew that if she kept asking, kept seeking, kept knocking, that that judge was going to have to yield. And sometimes that's the way that is, and of course we're reminded in this passage of Scripture that the Lord is asking us to cry out, and incidentally on 9/11, Thursday, went up to the courthouse. I guess it was yesterday. Went up to the courthouse in Carroll County and prayed there in front of that courthouse that I have been in. I've been ridiculed for being a Christian in there. I've prayed there before and whatever. But I stood out there and cried out to the Lord for revival in this country. Prayed that the judges in that courtroom would be righteous and true, and prayed for the police officers and prayed for the firemen and people that have given their lives, and even the people that suffered in 9/11 for whatever reason. I mean, the people, there were people who died on that day, and many of them were policemen, and many of them were firemen, and many of them were people who didn't know what happened, whatever. So praying for their families, praying for our military around the world and everything right there at the county courthouse. What a great opportunity that was. And it was led of the Lord to sing a couple of songs there, and also to recite the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd chapter of the book of Psalms. And it's interesting, in the book of Psalms, chapter 23, where it says, "Preparest me a place amongst mine enemies." It's a perseverance too, that even though we may be surrounded on all sides by a lot of things that are enemies, physical enemies, you know, people, whatever, that may seem to be causing us harm, but still we persevere. We don't give up. So the necessity of faith. And of course, if we were to read another few verses there in Luke, before we get to our question and answer time, Luke chapter 11 and verse 5. Moreover, he said, this is Luke chapter 11 and verse 5, Geneva translation. Moreover, he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go to him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come out of the way to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he within should answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give them to thee. I say unto you, though he would not arise and give him, because he is his friend, you doubtless, because of his importunity, he would rise and give him as many as he needed. And of course, the idea there, once again, is persistence. Many times people say, no, I don't want to be bothered with that. And you have to be able to explain your situation and persevere and continue on. Persist. Strength through testing. Tribulation, pressure. Hold on. Be patient. Persist. Strength through testing. And we're getting tested. Tribulation, pressure, whatever you want to call it, that's on you. Hold on, be patient, persist. When we're discouraged and quit, the principles of the kingdom cease to function in our lives. So I hope, as we're talking about these laws of the kingdom, the principles of the kingdom, that you understand that when you're discouraged and you quit, those principles cease to function in your life, at least at that time and maybe continuing on. And once again, to remind you the lesson of history of those who persevered, and of course, who persevered more than Jesus at taking the beating that he took and made it carrying the cross to be crucified on. What a symbol of perseverance that is. God uses oak trees, not mushrooms, because oak trees really are a very good example of perseverance and strength. Great virtues of oak trees, right? They last, even though they start out as little acorns. So, God ever wise leads his people according to his laws, even before we know and can explain them. And I'm sure that we have all benefited from some of the laws of the kingdom without ever really understanding them very well. Or, for that matter, not only not understanding them very well, but not even be able to articulate them or explain them to other people. So, I believe that we need to do that. So, Holy Spirit, thank you for being our teacher here today. As always, we understand the things that we understand not because of our own intelligence, although we do study to show ourselves approved unto God, that a workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly diverting the word of truth and dividing the word of truth, but because you, Holy Spirit, have been our teacher. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.